Jesus is Lord, right? And he is here. He's here by his Spirit, and he's wanting to minister his grace to us and his truth. And he wants most of all for us to have a living relationship with him. Amen? We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. A relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God offers that to everyone. He offers eternal life and a relationship with him. So have you received him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you opened your heart to the Lord? I pray that if you have, you are rejoicing in him today. And if you haven't, that before this day is out, you will give your heart to the Lord. Amen? Can you hear me okay? All right, good. Well, does it seem to you that the world has gone kind of crazy? Kind of insane? Kind of nuts? Yeah, the world is really, it's a mess. What is wrong with the world we live in? Do we need more government programs to fix things, or do we need more, I think the more government programs, the worse it gets. But what does this world really need? What did I hear? Jesus. I heard that. Amen. You get a gold star on your forehead. Yeah. It's not what does the world need, it's who does the world need, right? The world needs Jesus Christ. The people of the world need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, it's really something, this world, we're learning in Colossians that Jesus Christ is the creator. He's the co-creator with God the Father. He created this world, and yet the world is opposed to him. I'm reminded of I have a dear friend, he's a dairyman. He's been in the dairy business for a long, long time, and he's a really good Bible teacher, by the way. His name is Dick Zienert, and he tells the story of he built this barn, a new barn. He's a great builder, too. He's a brilliant guy. Well, he built this barn, and in a very short time, swallows had built their nests in the barn. You know about swallows, right? And they come back every year to the same place to lay their eggs and raise their young. Well, Dick Zienert, the dairyman, says he walks into his barn and these swallows start dive bombing him, they're trying to drive him out of the barn. He says, what's wrong with this picture? I built this barn and you're trying to drive me out of it. That's what happened to Jesus. He built this barn. He built this whole thing. And what did they do? They crucified him. And the world is opposed to Jesus Christ. The world is really anti-Christ. Now, the people of this world are living in hostility to God. That's a strong word. But it may be passive hostility. People will say, well, I'm not mad at God. I just don't want to have anything to do with him. I just want him to leave me alone. That's hostility toward God. I'm a nice guy. I don't need God. I just wish he would leave me alone. I was there for a lot of years. And then God got a hold of me. Yay. So the people of the world are living in passive hostility, or sometimes out and out hostility to Christ. They may be, we could call it passive rebellion to the King of Kings. The Lord Jesus is the King. He's the Creator. And He wants all people to come under His Lordship. But they're in rebellion to the King of Kings. They ignore God, even though they desperately need Him. You know anybody like that? How about you? If you're ignoring God, I hope today He gets your attention. Well, last week we saw, can you still hear me okay? Last week we saw that Jesus is the Creator of all things. He holds the entire universe together. That's amazing. Every molecule in this great creation is held together by the power of Christ, by the word, by His mighty word. And He's also the head of the church and the firstborn to rise from the dead. It says in Colossians, so that everything He might have preeminence. He is preeminently the supreme Lord and ruler of the universe. Amen? So we're going to continue in the book of Colossians and try to get an even bigger picture of who Christ is and what He has done. So I'm going to read the whole portion. It's only five verses in Colossians. Then we'll come back and talk about them. So in chapter 1, verse 19, well, let me just start with verse 18. Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. Verse 19, our scripture today. For it pleased the Father that in Him, that's Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became the minister. So we'll go back to verse 19, and let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on His word. Lord, we are so grateful that You have reconciled us to Yourself. You've brought us out of darkness and into Your glorious, glorious light. Thank You, Lord, for the miracle of salvation, for giving us new birth, making us new creatures. Thank You, dear Lord, that You have done it by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, that we can worship You. We can freely worship You and lay our lives at Your feet, offer to You everything we have and everything we are. So, Lord, I pray today that You would indeed reveal Your glory to us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that Your name would be lifted up and exalted. We are humbled and glad that You laid down Your life for us on the cross. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, verse 19 says, for it pleased the Father that in Him, that's Christ, all the fullness should dwell. Wow. All the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 2, verse 9, "For in him," in Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he has been called the God-man. All the fullness of God is in Jesus Christ in bodily form. So he is fully God and fully man. Wow. He is everything. He is our all in all. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and he is the Word that was with God and was God. He has been from all eternity the second person of the Trinity. Wow, he's a big, well, there's in Papua New Guinea, they have what's called the Pidgin English. It's their trade language, and their word for God is, or for Lord, is big pella, which sounds like big fellow, right? Big pella is Almighty God. He's huge, he's big, he's vast, and he's glorious. Amen? Yeah. So I hope I didn't offend anybody with that big pella. You all right? Everybody okay? All right, good. So verse 20 reads, verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." So it was God's pleasure that the fullness of deity should dwell in Christ, and it was also his pleasure that Christ should reconcile all things to himself. Do you know what the word reconcile means? When two people are opposed to each other and they have no use for each other, or they're strangers to each other, they are said to be alienated from each other, or separated from each other. But reconciliation brings two people that were opposed, brings them together. Reconciliation. I've counseled a number of married couples who were on the verge of divorce. They were estranged in their hearts, but they decided to be reconciled. They came back together, and now they're one again. It says that it pleased the Father that in all, him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. This is amazing. All of creation is out of harmony because of the fall. I don't know if you realize that. All of creation fell when Adam and Eve fell. And all of creation is out of harmony. And we can see it through, the animals killing each other. And we can see it through the terror of earthquakes and through the hurricane. This world is groaning, it says. All creation is groaning under the heavy burden of sin. But all of creation is going to be brought into right relationship with King Jesus when he reigns in the new heaven and the new earth. God's going to recreate everything and bring all things under the authority of Christ. You see, his death on the cross was more than just redeeming people, although that's what's most wonderful to us. It's also about redeeming the whole creation. Wow. The Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign over all his creation. All of creation will be brought into right relationship with King Jesus, and he will rule and reign. And this perfect reconciliation of all creation is brought about by Jesus' death on the cross and by precious shed blood. It says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen? Amen. So while Paul is giving us this glorious cosmic picture of Jesus Christ reconciling all things in heaven and earth, he now personalizes it to the believers in Colossae and to each one of us. Wow. He's going to personalize this reconciliation. Verse 21. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Wow. I don't know if you realize it. Before Christ, you were alienated from God. You were enemies. Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? Like I said, people say, I'm not mad at God. I'm not his enemy. Then why aren't you serving? There's no middle ground with Jesus Christ. You're either serving him or you're serving the world and the devil. So people who say they're not mad at God, yeah, they are. They're hostile to the living God. Wow. And they are alienated and enemies in their mind, in their mind, right? It's in your mind where all the trouble starts, right? It's our thoughts that lead us astray. It's our thoughts that God looks at and sees whether they're serving him or whether they're serving self. So we were alienated and estranged. God, it means God was a stranger to us. And we were separated from him, and through our wicked works that flowed from our rebellious minds, we were actually enemies of God. Have you ever heard of the word enmity? Enmity. We're at enmity with God. That means we were God's enemies. Whew, wow, that's a bad place to be. But the good and merciful Lord Jesus Christ took cosmic rebels like us and reconciled us to God. Aren't you glad? The Lord Jesus has reconciled us to himself and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. We who were far away from God, he brought near. We who lost our relationship with the King of Kings, he restored our relationship with him. Reconciliation. That's a great word, isn't it? Reconciliation. Wow. Verse 22. So it says, he has reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. He reconciled us to himself by giving his body over to death, the death of the cross, and it is because he makes us holy that we can be reconciled to God, that we can have fellowship with God. God cannot have fellowship with sin. Darkness and light cannot mix. So he cannot have fellowship with sin. So he graciously forgives us and restores us. And then we can be reconciled to him and have fellowship with him because he declares us righteous, right? Because he saves us by his precious blood. Amen? I'm just going to take a moment to pray. I'm having a little bit of difficulty. Does it seem like I'm having a little bit of difficulty? Oh, it doesn't? Well, I want to pray anyway. Yeah. Lord, thank you for your great reconciliation, and thank you that I know you are speaking to us today about the fact that you purchased our reconciliation by the blood of your cross. So I just offer myself to you, Lord. I pray that you would use me for your glory. And I pray that whoever you're speaking to today, you will open their heart to receive the free gift of reconciliation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, protect us from the enemy today. And again, I pray for your divine help as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Okay. So Paul is offering reconciliation to the living God. And we're going to see that he was a minister of reconciliation in just a bit. So our last verse in Colossians is verse 23. He says, Christ is going to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This last verse is a strong exhortation for us to abide in the faith, abide in Christ, to abide in those truths about the Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And no one can come to the Father, no one can be reconciled to the Father except by him, through Christ. Amen? So the Colossians were starting to listen to teachers who were teaching that there were other ways to come to God other than Jesus Christ. And Paul is exhorting them, saying, no, 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 you believed in Jesus. You believed that he was the only way. Stay in Christ. Abide in Christ. Don't let anybody steal your love for Jesus and your commitment to him. No one can be reconciled to God except through Christ. So don't let anyone sway you from your total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about the wondrous truth of reconciliation in other letters of his. So we're going to take a moment to look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11, I think is what we want. Let's see. Yeah, Romans 5. Chapter, verse 6. Oh, these sticky pages. All right, we're almost there. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad? Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the what? The reconciliation. Amen. I love that where it says, even though while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And even when we were sinners and enemies and estranged from God, Christ died for us. Isn't that great? Then he says, if he reconciled us while we were yet sinners, how much more will he save us through his life? That sounds kind of like a verse we've memorized in Philippians. God began a good work in you. He reconciled you to himself, and he's going to finish that work till the day of Christ. Amen? If when we were sinners, he reconciled us, how much more now that he saved us will he continue his work to completion in us? Amen. So the exhortation in this verse is, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you rejoicing in Christ today? Are you rejoicing in your salvation? Are you rejoicing in the fact that he has reconciled you to himself? I hope you are. Amen. Now our next passage from the Apostle Paul is found in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. Now, all things are of God. Verse 18. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he, verse 21, that's the Father, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? There's so much truth in that passage. Oh, since we've been reconciled to God, here's an important thing. We have the awesome privilege of being ambassadors for Christ. He has reconciled us to himself, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So I just want to illustrate reconciliation. I'm going to ask a dear friend of mine who's a great, great sinner, my son-in-law, John Van Wormer. He's a sinner saved by grace. Come on here. He's going to be the sinner. And I'm going to be the Savior. He got to be the Savior in Vacation Bible School. So I'm going to be the Savior. We are estranged from one another. We are alienated. There's no relationship. But wait a minute. I think I took care of that. I laid down my life on the cross for him. And I'm holding out my hands. It says in Psalms, or I think it's in Isaiah, all day long I'm holding out my hands to a disobedient, stubborn people. Look at how stubborn he is. Jesus says, come to me, All ye who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm reaching out to you. I gave my all. I poured out my precious blood. And I'm offering eternal life to you. I'm offering reconciliation. And you've been talked to by many Christians who've said, I beseech you, I plead with you, be reconciled to God. I'm pleading with you, be reconciled to God. Hey, all right. Welcome to the family of God.
Good to be here.
Amen. Let's give John a hand. He makes a great stubborn sinner, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, God offers reconciliation to everyone through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And if you haven't, if you're in this position right now, I beg of you, I plead with you, be reconciled to the Savior. Give your heart to Him. Amen. Amen. Because we are all and if you have received Christ, then you are responsible to plead with people that they be reconciled to God. Amen. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You're a representative of Christ to this sinful world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great, great work of reconciliation. Thank you for bringing us to yourself, for causing us to turn from our sin and turn to you and be reconciled to the Lord of glory. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to take that good news of your heart that desires reconciliation with sinners. I thank you that you've given us that message that we can share with those who are lost. People need the Lord. People need Jesus Christ. This world of ours is filled with people who need the Lord. So, Lord, we pray, use us to be ambassadors for Christ. And if there's anyone here who has received you today, I pray that you would just bless them with your very presence, encourage them, and cause them to know that they belong to the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, because of what Christ has done, the second verse of our closing song says, you're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. Jesus Christ, we are no longer enemies with Christ. We're friends, right? He is our, what a friend we have in Jesus. So let's worship the Lord by singing, As the Deer Pants for the Water.